Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. Your host this evening will be Stevie R. Butler. The show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to call us live at 713-955-0508. If you'd like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can email us at goodnewsmediaproductions@gmail.com. You can also call our business line at 336-525-5843. Now, this show is brought to you by loving, faithful members of Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help finding a local congregation, please email or call us, and we would be more than willing and happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord.
Good evening, whoever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina Man Cave Studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, before you retire for the night, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. Let us pray and thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on my heart at this point in time in my life that I'm on this broadcast tonight, prepared to present a portion of your holy and divine word. We pray that your word will go forth and produce that which is good. We pray that the listening audience tonight will hear something that they can receive and that will produce fruit in their lives. And if they have yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, that they will do so before it's everlasting and eternally too late. We thank you so much for Jesus and his great love and sacrifice on Calvary. And we're so grateful. We pray we will never take this sacrifice for granted. We pray that you'll continue to love us and bless us all the days of our lives. And we've been faithful unto death, Father. We pray that you would save us. For us in Christ's name, we do ask it all. Amen. On tonight, I'd like to take a lesson text from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Within the context, this is the last time that Jesus will appear to his apostles, and he will commission them. And this is what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus is commanding his apostles to go into all the world. In verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. But then he says in verse 16, which we will concentrate on as our lesson text on tonight, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Our subject for tonight's lesson will be, is baptism immersion? Is baptism immersion? Ladies and gentlemen, the words of our Lord in Mark 16 and verse 16, and let me read it again for emphasis sake. Our Lord says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Those words of our Lord have sparked many religious debates. You can just go to social media in these groups that we have, discussion groups where they discuss Bible topics, and you will see the topic baptism being discussed, being debated over and over again. This discussion has caused many regarding the subject of baptism to turn away in anger and unbelief, and many to simply do what that passage says. Yet sadly, many who have attempted to turn to the Lord in baptism have still not met his requirements. And the reason they have failed in this attempt is a misunderstanding of what Jesus means when he commands to be baptized. This misunderstanding is a result of following man-made religions, man-made traditions and doctrines. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, where you have traditions and doctrines of men, the word of God is of none effect. He said, it's vain worship, for you're teaching as doctrine the commandments of men and not God. Various religions have polluted not only the meaning of baptism, but also the method that's acceptable to the God of heaven. So on tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this study will not focus on the many false ideas surrounding the essential nature of baptism, but rather it is our aim on tonight that we will focus on what method of baptism is scriptural. Just what did Jesus, our Lord, mean when he commanded in our lesson text of Mark 16, verse 16, when Jesus commanded to be baptized? Did he teach that a person may be saved by being sprinkled? Will having water poured onto his head wash away their sins? Or did our Lord speak of immersion in water to receive forgiveness of sins? Ladies and gentlemen, various denominations practice various methods to baptize their candidates. There's one denominational website that states, our church has always offered to people being baptized and to the parents of infants the choice of sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. Sprinkling is a common practice, but the person being baptized or their sponsors can choose the method most meaningful to them. And you can find this information on the website www.umc.org/what-we-believe is sprinkling the only way that United Methodists baptize access. And this is dated December 16th, 2016. This claim made by the United Methodist Church clearly identifies a major problem. The baptismal candidate, according to the Methodist United Methodist Church, the baptismal candidate can choose based on what is most meaningful to them. In this particular article by the United Methodist Church, symbolism for the acts of sprinkling and pouring, as well as immersion, are identified as they teach them. They say whatever symbolism the candidate wants to experience is what they choose. The attitude of man that we can choose based on what we desire is a dangerous attitude when it comes to serving the God of heaven. One doesn't have to look very far in the scriptures to find examples that our desires are not what pleases God. Consider just a few of these examples. Consider Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Also Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And even Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 and 15. If one is attempting to obey God by being baptized, why does what they desire outweigh that which God commands? Why do they feel that the symbolism that is most meaningful to them is what's acceptable to God? How arrogant to tell God how you will obey him. This is where religion driven by emotion has taken many worshipers, to think that they are acceptable by God because it feels right to them. A careful study of baptism in the New Testament will identify that immersion is what was practiced as well as commanded. Considering the terms themselves, baptism is defined by Vine as consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, and emergence. And this is found in W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And it's on pages 88 and 89. The term baptize means to dip, was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment, or drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another. In consideration of the usage by those who spoke the language in the first century, it becomes clear that total immersion would be the common understanding of the term. Consider also the baptism of John. The gospel record speaks of John and his commission of God to prepare for the coming Messiah. And we can find this in Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3 and John chapter 1 of the gospel records. The records of Luke teaches that John was preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. Other gospel accounts speak of a reason that John was located in such an area was the abundance of water in John chapter 3 and verse 23. If the forerunner of Christ was baptizing by means of sprinkling and pouring, it seems that it would not be necessary to locate oneself near much water as described in John 3 and verse 23. The Bible says John was baptizing near Enoch because there was much water there. You see that? That's John 3 and verse 23. However, if total immersion of the subject is needed to make perfect sense, when Jesus was baptized by John, there is further evidence that it was by immersion. Matthew, as well as Mark, makes reference to Jesus coming up out of the water. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, both of these passages, makes reference to our Lord coming up out of the water. Again, if the acceptable method of baptism were sprinkling or pouring, why would our Lord need to come up out of the water? It seems that he went into the water to be immersed by John. Baptism, commanded by Jesus and practiced by the apostles of our Lord, was clearly immersion of one submitting to the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul illustrates this by his words in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, while building an argument that Christians should totally put away sin. Paul would state in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. In this passage, Paul teaches that one buries the old man of sin that has been put to death, becoming a new creature by emerging from the watery grave, from the watery grave of baptism. We understand that one is completely covered if they have been buried. Other passages written by Paul also mentions that baptism is a burial, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. The conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch is another prime example of baptism in the Bible. The historical record that both Philip and the eunuch went into the water and came up out of the water in order for him to be baptized. And this can be found in Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. If sprinkling or pouring water onto one's head were sufficient methods, or the practice methods in these examples, there would be no need for anyone to enter and exit the water. If one seeks to submit to the command of baptism, why would they desire to do anything other than what those of the New Testament did? And this is why we went over some of these examples. Why would they feel that some other symbolic form of such a sacred ritual would be acceptable to God? Ladies and gentlemen, when God's word speaks of baptism, it clearly speaks of immersion. There is no other way for the sinner to wash away sins so that they might be saved. Let us obey the commands of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the lesson is yours, and I would just like to extend the Lord's invitation in conclusion. If you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. James chapter 2 and verse 24 and Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Paul said, God commandeth all men everywhere. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. And then you must be baptized in water, as we discussed in our lesson on tonight, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 and verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, then you can decide again by repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for spending a little time with me on this evening. And it is my prayer that this lesson tonight has been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord. And I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives. Good night, everybody.
Hear me when I say it. Oh, oh, believe me when you hear it. Then know what you're going to do. Your sins, confess that he is, and be baptized. Hear me when I say it. Oh, oh, believe me when you hear it. Then know what you're going to do. Repent of your sins, confess that he is, and be baptized.
People saying they got saved, but they're telling me these other ways.
Yes.
If you believe, repent of your sins.
Yes.
Confess that Jesus Christ, he
yes.
is. Go down the water to be made new. That's what it is
ooh,
that we must do to
ooh,
be saved. But I keep hearing about all
these
ways.
Ways.
I ask,
yes.
lay your hand on the radio. Somebody
yes.
take a vote.
Yes.
Ask the Lord into your heart. Say the
sinner's
prayer to start
ooh,
being
ooh,
saved. That just ain't what the Bible
says.
See, I read that when the people heard the word,
yes.
baptized from what they
yes.
heard, buried in on what's a grave,
ooh,
that's all and they were saved.
Hear me when I say it.
Hear me now.
Oh,
hear me
oh,
now.
When you hear it.
Believe what I say is true.
Know what you're
going
to
do now. What you're
going
to do now. What you're going to do now.
Be baptized.
Hear me when I say it. Hear me now.
Oh,
I say,
oh,
hear me now.
Oh, hear me when
yeah. God's word is true.
Know what you're
going to
do
now.
Repent of
your sins.
Confess that he is. And be baptized.
Now in Acts 2 verse 38. We can read of people being saved. Not sprinkling water on their heads. That just ain't what I read. No waiting for a special day. They were all baptized right away. That very day. Over 3,000
people.
And they did
yes.
not have to speak a tongue unknown.
Yes.
Go to a cemetery
yes.
for special time.
Ooh.
But we're added to the church of Christ.
Oh,
now,
oh,
hear me now.
Now.
Believe God's word is true.
Know what you're going
to do with it.
Don't
do now. What you going to do? You better be baptized.
Hear me when I say.
Hear me now.
Oh,
say, hear
oh,
me now.
Oh,
what are you gonna do now?
Confess that he is. Be baptized.
Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Just forget about what other people have said. Read it for yourself. It's simple and plain. Y'all, this is the gospel of Christ. He led a perfect life. Yes, he was crucified, was dead 3 days. But he rose up early Sunday morning so that you could be saved today.
You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler, episode 13.